We'll now move on to the fifth case of the day, United States v. Rivera, number 092451. We'll hear first from Mr. Anderson. Good morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon.
Yes. May it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Guillermo Rivera. In this case, Mr. Rivera pled guilty to three bank robberies, and while this case was pending, he was also sentenced to 104 months in prison in the Northern District of Illinois for another four bank robberies. And at sentencing for this case, he asked the district court to make his sentence concurrent to his sentence in the Northern District of Illinois. The government also recommended that the sentences be concurrent and asked the court to recommend or make the give him credit for all of his time served. The court said the sentences would be concurrent, made that order due to the proximity in time between the offenses. However, in the judgment order, the court simply recommended that the Bureau of Prisons give Mr. Rivera credit for time served. This recommendation, coupled with the concurrent order, shows that the court intended the sentences to be fully concurrent. Unfortunately, the court apparently didn't realize that 7 months of that, the Bureau of Prisons couldn't give them credit for on the Indiana sentence. Therefore, the recommendation was meaningless as to that portion of the sentence, because once Mr. Rivera was sentenced in the Northern District of Illinois, he was being given credit for that sentence, and the Bureau of Prisons can't give credit for time that's already been credited towards another sentence. So in order to do what he wanted to do, the district court would have had to reduce the sentence by 7 months and sentence Mr. Rivera to 133 months concurrent instead of 140 months. His failure to do that effectively means that Mr. Rivera was sentenced to 147 months concurrent instead of 140.
Even before the guidelines became advisory, wasn't that a permissible basis for downward departures?
Yes, it was.
Under the guidelines? So, okay.
Yes, the court could have done this when the guidelines were still mandatory. And unfortunately, so due to the court's mistake, this court should reverse Mr. Rivera's sentence and send his case back to...
You agree we're on a plain error standard here?
Yes, Your Honor, we are.
Okay. Okay.
Unfortunately, there was no objection below. Maybe because of the way it happened, with the ultimate thing being in the judgment order, but...
With the recommendation that wouldn't be legally effective.
So. Exactly. But it certainly does affect Mr. Rivera's substantial rights, since it means he's doing more time in prison than the court intended. And that also affects the fairness, public reputation, and integrity of judicial proceedings. So it does satisfy the plain error standard, and this court should, as I said, reverse, allow so that the district court can revise its sentence in accordance with what it actually wanted to do, and make the sentences fully concurrent.
This is, what is it, the 7 months?
Approximately.
Yeah. What do we have to do to shorten the sentence?
He would have to make this sentence to 133 months, so that he, that's the only way to give him the credit for the 7 months that was not being, that can't be credited to the Indiana sentence. The rest of the pretrial confinement time can be credited towards both sentences. So I don't believe we're not arguing about that part. And in addition, the court also erred by ordering Mr. Rivera to make restitution payments in accordance with the Inmate Financial Responsibility Program, which, on its face, doesn't look too bad. The problem is it's a voluntary program, so the court didn't have the authority to do that. And that's another reason why this court should reverse the sentence.
Mr. Anderson, I'm looking at for the actual quotation from what Judge Lozano had to say here.
Okay.
Said the yes, thank you. That's in my notes. Okay. 19.
Second to last paragraph.
The defendant shall make restitution payments of any wages earned in prison in accordance with the Bureau of Prisons Financial Responsibility Program.
Yes.
Is it possible to read that as just saying that if the defendant participates in the Financial Responsibility Program and therefore earns wages, then he needs to pay up?
Well, I don't think so.
As opposed to a mandatory, you must participate in the program.
Shall typically means must, so I think
I'm
that's
focusing on any.
Okay. Well, I think that's because the court probably doesn't. At that point, the court didn't know for sure that he was going to have any income while he was in prison. And if he has no income, he can't make payments.
And to have income, does he have to participate in the program?
No. He can have income without participating in the program. People can send him money, put it on his accounts.
In terms of earning money with prison jobs.
I believe that's correct, that according to the Bureau of Prisons regulations, he's not permitted to work without participating in the MI Financial Responsible Program. There are.
I know this is coming up in a lot of appeals this spring, so I think your office is involved in most of them. So.
Yes, actually, unfortunately, I didn't realize the error and got burned in an Anders brief on one of these ones. I've made a point of raising it. It doesn't come up in every case, but when it does.
All right. Do you want to save any other time you have for rebuttal then, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Ms. Houston, good morning. And good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. With respect to the first issue, I think it's clear that the court intended for this defendant to serve 140 months concurrently. When you go through what Judge Lozano said, he articulated all of the 3553A factors he considered. He looked at the guidelines and determined that it was between 140 and 175 months. He determined that this defendant should receive 140 months. He actually stated in the record, I don't think that enhancement below the guidelines is warranted either. So he intended for this defendant to serve 140 months, not anything below the guidelines,
right, but
133.
Defense position, though, seems to be that it was a result of this uncertainty about who decides about credit. Mr. Rivera will actually wind up spending about 147 months in prison.
Well, the guidelines calculation, and opposing counsel also articulates this, is actually the sentence is actually calculated by the Bureau of Prisons. So the Bureau of Prisons can take this into consideration. But the bottom line is they're arguing two things. They're arguing, one, that the judge intended for him to get 133 months to get credit for that seven. But if you look at what occurred, Judge Lozano articulated that the reason the defendant was in the situation he was in by the time he was sentenced in Indiana, he created that. There was a plea agreement set out for him to plead to all of these charges in both Indiana and Illinois, but because of the defendant's own actions, it resulted in, I believe he initially pled guilty, blind pled in Indiana, on April 2nd, 2008. Then ultimately he pled in Chicago on July 24th, 2008. Sometime between that time, there were multiple motions filed by the defendant, and he was sentenced in Illinois before he was sentenced in Indiana. He actually wanted Judge Duryagan to sentence him concurrently to the Indiana time, but Judge Duryagan said, I can't do that because you haven't been sentenced yet. So
whichever court went second would make
right.
that determination. So what do you think we should make out of Judge Lozano's recommendation?
I think you should make out of his recommendation that he intended for him to receive a sentence of 140 months. He indicated that he wanted him to have it concurrent because he said, I believe Judge Lozano stated at the sentencing, I like you, you've been respectful, but I have to take into consideration everything, the multiple robberies you've committed.
Sure, right. I understand that. But he says 140 months, concurrent with the Illinois sentence, and then says, I recommend the defendant be given credit for time served. Do you agree that he could not actually be given credit towards the Indiana sentence for the time he had already spent in prison or in jail?
Towards the – well, he recommended that he get time – he get credit served, but he also recommended that he – that it be served concurrent to the Illinois case. But I know you're saying that 7 months period. Can he get credit for that? He was in custody during that time, and that's for the Bureau of Prisons to determine whether or not they're going to calculate.
Well, the defense has told us, though, the Bureau of Prisons is prohibited under 18 U.S.C. 3585B from giving him credit on the Indiana sentence for the time spent in Illinois because that time is already being credited for the Illinois sentence.
I believe in, and I'd have to look at my statute, but I think in the way the – if you look at the second sentence, it says or. May I get my book
sure.
Now?
I believe the second sentence says or.
So they can actually look at – were you looking at 3584 or 3585? Well, if you look at 3584A and you look at the second sentence, it says, or if a term of imprisonment is imposed on a defendant who is already subject to an undischarged term of imprisonment. So he's in an undischarged term of imprisonment when he was sentenced in Illinois. So they can, if the Bureau of Prisons determines, they can look at those calculations. It would be they can look at that 7 months if they because it wasn't undischarged.
Was this in your brief?
In Mr. Stewart's brief?
Sure.
And I apologize. He had a death in the family, so I agreed to do this.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I don't see how 3584A answers this question. Under 3585B, which says the defendant shall be given credit toward the service of a term of imprisonment for any time he has spent in official detention prior to the date that the sentence commences as a result of the offense for which the sentence was imposed. Well, that wasn't the case when he was in Illinois. Or as a result of any other charge for which the defendant was arrested after commission of the offense for which the sentence was imposed. That doesn't apply either. So let me just ask you, Ms. Houston, would there be any great harm here in remanding this case to Judge Lozano for him to tell us how he would handle this with the knowledge that Mr. Rivera will not get credit from the Bureau of Prisons on the Indiana sentence for the 7 months he spent in custody in Illinois?
Looking at the fact that Mr. Rivera has 104 months from the Chicago office and 140 from the Northern District of Indiana, I do not see any harm in Judge Lozano reviewing it to make the determination that what he intended was for this defendant to serve 140 months. Having practiced in front of Judge Lozano for the past 15 years or more, he knows and he constantly states on the record, I cannot make that determination of what the Bureau of Prisons, how they're going to calculate this. That's for them to do.
And ordinarily that's the case when you're just talking about one sentence and the BOP figures out, for example, how much of your state time, if you were awaiting state charges, you might get credit for, if any, or if you then got transferred to federal custody and so on. And just the complication here is because of the related cases.
Of the related cases. And I will state that Mr. Rivera was in custody on both cases simultaneously. In fact, he was in the Northern District of Indiana for quite some time, and I believe, and Judge Lozano references this, working on a plea for both districts. And then when that fell through, he went to Chicago first at his request to have those charges taken care of first, and then came back to the Northern District of Indiana. And at the conclusion of the transcript, Judge Lozano actually says, you did your own self a disservice because I believe you would have received less time based upon the plea agreement proposed by both combined offices. So you ended up with more time based upon your own conduct. So just that alone, it's clear that Judge Lozano intended for him to receive the 140. But based on what you're saying, Judge Hamilton, I agree. There would be no problem with this going back for Judge Lozano to definitely state what I said is what I meant. With respect to the Inmate Financial Responsibility Program, I agree with the court that any. The judge didn't order that he participate in this program. In detailing both in the final judgment and conviction order and in the oral statements of the judge, he's making it clear that if this defendant participates in the Inmate Financial Responsibility Program, the funds from that will go towards restitution. That's all he said. He did not order him, and there's nothing in the record to indicate that the judge ordered him to participate in this program.
Thank you, Ms. Houston, and thank you for filling in for your colleague. So, rebuttal, Mr. Anderson?
I have nothing further on the court. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.